0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Walter Smith says the last few weeks may be causing people to change their minds about Graham Murty's Rangers future. Andrew Robertson says there's more to the Scotland captaincy debate than him against Kieran Tierney. And Patrick Roberts is looking to make up for lost time between now and the end of the season. It is a Tuesday evening and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah.
Yeah, and all roads point to Hampden on Friday night now, the start of the Alec McLeish era without Kieran Tierney. Everyone knew already, without Scott Brown. But you know, Tierney would have been probably most people's favourites to assume the captain's armband. He's not there, and the captaincy is a big decision for Alec McLeish, as well as his first selection, because I'll be fascinated to see the formation and the personnel.
We are going to hear Andrew Robertson's thoughts on the captaincy. If it's him or someone else, why not get in touch and let us know what you think. We are on the phones 01419511025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. But before we do that, let's get the thoughts of Walter Smith. Gordon, we spoke to you on Saturday. You were at Ibrox. Now that you've had a bit of time to digest things, I'm sure you've watched the game again, probably a couple of times. You take your homework very seriously. What do you take away from it?
Same conclusion, Gordon. I've been since day one. I don't think, and I'm not being disrespectful here, I really am, I think he's come in, worked very hard for the club. For Rangers to go forward, I don't think Graham Murty's the man for the job. I think he was brought up for, you know, he produced players in under-20s. I think that's what his forte could be. He's been getting criticised a lot about tactical awareness when he comes up against, for instance, Stevie Clark on Saturday. I don't blame that on him. I think his players let him down badly. They blamed him for the Brendan Rodgers not moving quick enough when Celtic went down to 10 men. You know, he's come in there and he's steadied the ship, you can say that. But if Rangers are really looking to go forward, I think they will wait to the summer and appoint a new manager, to be honest with you. And there's nothing against Graham Murty, I don't know the lad, but I just hear a lot of good things. I like listening to him speak, but sometimes you just look at him in a dugout and he looks like his job's maybe just a little bit too big for me.
Well, just look back to a fortnight ago in the run-up to the Old Firm game at Ibrox. Rangers fans justifiably felt Rangers could get something out of the game. Not only did they not get anything out of it, but they didn't get anything out of it against a Celtic side that played for half an hour and more with 10 men at the time when Rangers were, you know, Rangers had led the game twice. To compound that, Rangers then lose at home to Kilmarnock, the worst home record since 1915. The only way Graham Murty can possibly cling on to this job next season, Gordon, is to win the Scottish Cup and for Rangers to finish second in the Premiership.
Walter Smith says he is understanding that people may be changing their feelings on Graham Murty as time goes on, but he believes he has made some progress in his time in the Ibrox hot seat. The former Gels boss says two defeats in a row would naturally put any Rangers manager under pressure, and claims it's very simple, he must start winning to get people back on side.
You've got to say that there's been a certain element of progress. I don't think there's been the level of consistency that you'd want, but with, probably with all the turmoil that's gone on over the last few years, you know, that's maybe to be expected. For Graham, all he can do is try his best and see what happens at the end of the year. He's never been promised a job. He's came in and he has settled the team down to his credit. But like everything else, at the end of the season, it will be determined by results. If you had asked a fortnight ago, everybody would have said they had a fair opportunity to become a manager after losing a couple of games. Everybody seems to change their mind. And that's football at the present day. It's, everybody's looking for a quicker fix.
What do you think? 0141 951 1025 or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I suppose, Roger, there is a case. I believe that we are... nowadays we are as knee-jerk as we've ever been. And as you quite rightly point out, what a difference a couple of weeks makes. Surely you can't be basing these things on two games or one game. It has to require a step back and a look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, and I've taken a step back, and the bigger picture is winning the Scottish Cup and finishing second in the league. If Rangers lose again to Celtic in a Scottish Cup semi-final, or even beat Celtic and then lose to Aberdeen or Motherwell in a Scottish Cup final, and if Rangers finish beneath either Aberdeen or Hibs and don't finish second in the league, then the bigger picture is that Graham Murty will not have done the job to the satisfaction of the board, and for me, won't be invited to stay on beyond the end of the season.
Let's hear a bit from Declan John. He's rejecting the claims that the squad can't handle the pressure of playing Ibrox. That's despite losing again at the weekend. John disagreed with Graham Murty that the players lacked belief in their defeat to Kilmarnock, but says they must improve at a club the size of Rangers.
It's obviously, you know, a tough game to take. I thought we started the game quite well. Our first 10, 15 minutes created a few chances, but just, you know, I think the way we played with the ball, I just... think that we wasn't good enough, you know, obviously coming off a good performance last week, even though we did lose the game, which we should have won. Obviously we needed to bounce back today, but obviously, you know, we didn't do that.
So you lack belief at times, is it something that was on the pitch?
No, not at all. You know, I think we go into every game, you know, looking to win, and obviously being at home as well, you know, the fans expect that from us and we expect that from ourselves. You know, I think obviously when we are playing home, we are looking to win every game, like I said, but obviously that hasn't been as good of as late this season, and you know, we have got to try and change that, but our away performances have been good and we have, you know, got some good results. But
feel like you're playing under pressure here more?
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, I think from myself and the boys, we didn't really feel the pressure, you know, when we're going out to the games. We just want to, you know, try and do well and win all the games.
I understand where Declan John's coming from, Roger, because as a player you're probably not willing to admit or don't realise certain factors, but if you're looking at it from the outside and you look at Rangers having lost 7 home games this season, what can it possibly be? What can it possibly be other than one or two factors, and one of them obviously being the size of the crowd and the expectation and all the rest of it? Well, what else could it be? What are we missing?
The thing you might be missing is maybe they're just not very good. Maybe they're not good enough to beat Kilmarnock.
But why so much worse at home though?
Well, is it a mental barrier? You would actually, if you Rangers fans, I think, would have more respect for the players if the players came out and said, listen, losing 7 at home isn't good enough. We're sorry. We need to try much, much harder. We need to do much, much better. We will need to find a way to win games, find a way to beat Celtic somewhere, sometime, somehow. Find a way not to lose at home to Kilmarnock, not to lose goals to Chris Boyd, not to have a worst home record since 1915, because Rangers fans must be growing tired of listening to Declan John and another one of his teammates and another one of his teammates coming out week after week and saying, no, we don't feel the pressure. No, we can do it. Stop talking about doing it and start doing it. And then the questions will, you know, you'll have answered the questions.
Rangers fans, and particularly, I suppose, the ones who go to Ibrox week in, week out, you're there, you see it. What in particular are you seeing that could be the reason behind this home form? 0141 951 1025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well.
Yeah, I think watching Rangers this season, Gordon, There's a mental barrier there at Ibrox. They're okay if they're dominating the game and, you know, they get into the lead, their confidence is up. But Rangers fans expect so much, and quite rightly so. They pay good money, they turn out and huge numbers at Ibrox, and when things aren't going right, and it's not just this group of players, it's happened to everybody, the expectations there are incredible, and the fans let you know they want better, they want more. And there's two ways of going about it. I keep saying, you either sink or swim, and a lot when this happens, you can actually see on the park, a lot of them start to get into a shell and they struggle. And I think that goes to the advantage of the opposition. And I think that's why they've lost the amount of games they've lost. And Saturday, I must admit, it was one of the poorest performances I've witnessed for a long time. And I'm going to touch on little things, if you just let me for a second. And I know people say, I can't believe you're even bringing that up. I watched for the last 2 or 3 home games. I can't understand why at halftime, no Rangers player comes out and warms up. I can't understand that. You watch Celtic, you watch Kilmarnock at the weekend, every player is out warming up. Now it's a freezing cold day and Jason Holt comes running out the tunnel. He's not even been on the park warming up. Where do these, and these are small details that make such a big thing in football. You've got to get the small details right to get the big ones. And I couldn't understand, even against Celtic, when they've lost a goal just before half time, Graham Murty's team talk's completely changed. Keep the players on the toes, get them out there, get them warmed up, because you might have to make that substitution in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So there's a lot of little things that I think that the inexperience of Graham Murty as a manager misses at times.
And it's funny, you said something earlier on the show, and as you said, you like listening to Graham Murty. I actually don't, because Graham Murty's pre-match with the media, it's the same every week. He says the same things. He says players need to focus, the players need to embrace the challenge, the players need to execute when they go over the white line. Now, with the best will in the world, I could stand there and say those things. It's just words. What Graham Murty needs is to explain to his players how to focus, how to embrace the challenge, especially at Ibrox, and how to execute when they go over the white line. Because it seems to me, when they get over that white line at Ibrox, they just stall, they freeze. And I've listened to you, you've done most of the games at Ibrox this season, Dads, from right at the very start. I think the first home defeat was against Neil Lennon's Hibs, the 3-2 yes. game. Right the way through the season, you've said the same things, you've found the same problems, you've looked at the same issues that Rangers have at home. And from the month of August, when they were losing at home to Hibs, to the month of March, when they're losing at home to Kilmarnock, there's now been two managers there, and neither of them seem able to, you know, find solutions to those problems.
Ronnie is a Rangers fan in Carluke. Ronnie, how are you feeling about the way things are at the moment?
Things are hot and cold. Murty's done his best. What do you expect? Rangers have got to push the ball out for a manager like Steve Clarke. Steve's got plenty of mates and plenty of acknowledgements in England. They must push the ball out. Give Graham Murty to the end of the season, and if he doesn't get the press, he must go for Steve Clarke. He's been over the course, and he's got plenty of plans and mates in England that he can get some decent players in.
Roger, what about the timing here then? Because you yourself said at the top of the show, Graham Murty will deserve the Rangers job and will get the Rangers job if he finishes second and wins the Scottish Cup. Is there any doubt in your mind about the risk, perhaps, about leaving it that long? Or does it just have to be that way because of that would be the logical thing to do? Or
listen, it's not a case of leaving it that long. You know, the Rangers board, a club like Rangers at the minute will be scouting defenders, midfielders and strikers for next season. Mark Allen and his scouting department will be looking at footballers for next season. Now, they might not sign an awful lot of those footballers, but they'll be looking at them. They'll be looking at strikers in case they decide to sell Morelos. They'll be maybe looking at, you know, midfielders in case Sean Goss goes back to QPR. They'll be looking at defenders in case Russell Martin goes back to Norwich. The proper clubs, the sensible clubs, also scout managers, Gordon. They look at, you know, who could be available in the summer. They look at all manner of scenarios, and all clubs do that. Not just clubs who have got interim managers, caretaker managers like Rangers have at the minute. Properly well-run clubs look at a succession plan, if you like. So if Rangers are doing their job properly, Rangers will know which managers might be available, which managers might be interested, which managers might be of interest to them. So it's not just a case of suddenly waking up one day in July and saying, I'll tell you what, we fancy a new manager today. They will be aware of the situation regarding Graham Murty. I don't think there'll be any managerial change prior to the end of the season. But if Rangers don't win the cup and don't finish second, I think there will be a managerial change.
Ronnie?
Rangers should make just interested. They shouldn't sit back. They should make them interested. Because, for example, Steve Clarke, how long has it got to take him to get somebody decent? Because, what do you respect to Graham Murty? He's no Rangers classmate. If don't get some sort of quick, Celtic's going to get on and on. It's going to be a long slog back. 10, 11, 12, 13, how many? They must get somebody like Steve Barkin, who's got been over the course before, and he knows how to get the best out of players.
Kilmarnock fans everywhere, Gordon, are screaming at the radio saying, please make this stuff go away. Listen, it's a byproduct of doing well. It's a compliment.
Exactly, and you've got to give all the compliments in the world to Steve Clarke. Since he's come up to Scotland, he's been absolutely terrific for Kilmarnock. He's went up against the big boys. He's handled that very well. He's got Kilmarnock well, well organised. Even in the first half, I thought Kilmarnock didn't play particularly well. But the one thing you see about them is organisation's very, very good, Gordon. And that helps. And they kept themselves in the game. Russell Martin probably should have gave Rangers a lead. But second half, they deserve to walk away with the 3 points. So he's got to come on the radar. And that's the reason, because of what he's doing in Scotland. Now, the board might look at that and think, okay, he's got good contacts, as Ronnie says. But, you know, this isn't a witch hunt against Graham Murty. I think Graham Murty deserves a lot of credit. I think he's come in, worked very hard, doing as best as he possibly can, handled himself very well. Don't think his answer. The Rangers board will need to find the answer.
Yeah, and listen, I was at the Partick Thistle game at the weekend, as. And Alan Archibald came in, explained the 3-0 loss, and he said the only good aspect today is our destiny is still in our own hands. Graham Murty's destiny is still in his own hands. If Graham Murty can lead Rangers to a Scottish Cup win and second place in the league, there is still a chance that Graham Murty, a decent chance, that Graham Murty will be Rangers manager. But having seen the Rangers twice in the last 10 days, I'm not sure how much money you would put on that happening.
Collins and Moody's Burn. Hi, Colin.
Gordon, good evening. How are you?
All good. What's your point tonight, Colin?
It was just alluding to some of the points that Roger and Gordon made earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm a season ticket holder at Ibrox, and obviously every alternate week going to the home games, they seem to come out of the blocks quite quickly. But thereafter they don't get that early goal, you just see the ball coming up the wings, going back down the wings, across the back. There seems to be no willingness to accept the ball in the middle of the park, receive the ball into feet at the edge of the box, and then kind of mix some of the play up. It seems to be the same thing most of the time. And I agree with Roger. I think prior to a couple of weeks ago, Graham Murty was pretty much a shoe-in for the job at the end of the season. But I think now it's probably making a lot of Rangers fans, and of course you guys as pundits, can have a review of that. Certainly I am of that view as well, and I think maybe a wider look at a more experienced manager might be the way forward.
In fairness to Graham Murty, Gordon, and by the way, this won't be comforting to everyone, I respect that, but the waveform's been pretty good, some pretty attractive,
really good, Gordon.
Football and so on. You can't really fault that side of it. So what about then stylistically what Colin and his fellow season ticket holders are seeing?
I think the big problem is obviously at Ibrox. There's a problem there that they can't go over that hurdle to keep winning. That's supposed to be, you know, if teams are supposed to turn up at Ibrox really worried about Rangers coming at them, they attack like the old days. Doesn't happen now. You see teams turning up there full of confidence, thinking if we can get the crowd on their back, and I'm not blaming the crowd, it's old cliche, get the crowd on their back, these players won't be able to handle it. And that's exactly what's happening, Gordon. The problem for Graham Murty, I feel sorry for him, because he's done nothing wrong apart from getting thrown into the lion's den and try to handle it. But you see, it swings and round a bit, and it changes very quickly. If you look at, for instance, last year when we're talking about Derek McInnes going to Rangers, who would replace him? Well, the man in form at that time was Alan Archibald. Top six finish with Partick Thistle. Have a look at Partick Thistle now. Alan's struggling to hold on to his job. So management now is a very difficult game. And as Roger touched on, probably Graham Murty's future at Rangers lies in this semi-final against Celtic. To get the result, and then he's got to really go, because he's got Motherwell or Aberdeen, no disrespect, always got to be a difficult cup final, and he's got to win that. But he's got to go over Celtic first, and after watching Celtic at Ibrox, you don't see that happening. So I think Graham Murty will be put back where I think he will do all his good work, because he just seems to fit that bill. But I don't think he's a leader to take Rangers forward.
Good news for him though, neither the semi-final nor the final are at Ibrox.
This is very true indeed. Thank you to Colin in Moody's Burn. It's 01419511025 to get involved. We're going to hear from Andrew Robertson next. Some interesting comments on the Scotland captaincy. Let us know what you think. Coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get involved as well, giving us a phone on 01419511025. If you would prefer Twitter, then we are at Clyde SSB as well. We are about to hear from Scotland's Andrew Robertson. Some interesting comments on Alex McLeish's first couple of days with the squad, and of course this debate that will go on for some time, I suspect, about who's going to take over the captaincy from Scott Brown. But in the meantime, let's get back to the phone lines and speak to Robert. Robert is a Celtic fan in Thornley Bank. Hi, Robert.
Hi, panel tonight. I was just listening earlier about Graeme Murty. I think the bigger problem is the Rangers players are just not good enough. The whole squad are players. Looking at the games they had previous to the Old Firm game, the build-up to it, played Hamilton, I think it's United and Falkirk, and they three teams went toe-to-toe with Rangers from the very start of the games. I watched those games, and that's what created the chances of Rangers and scored the goals. No many teams in Scotland will do that against Celtic, and the same outcome, teams do that against Celtic. I think the biggest problem is Graeme Murty's got a lot of slack, but I think it's the squad of players he's got.
There is always that, Gordon, because does Graeme Murty perhaps deserve a bit of the heat to be taken off him? I mean, I know the way it works when you're a manager. You have to, you take the blame ultimately, don't you? But do we look to the dugout too often for blame?
No, sometimes, for instance, I think Saturday was one of those occasions, Gordon. I think his players let him down badly. He's been criticised for not changing things quick enough. He brought on Holt for Goss, who has been poor, I've got to say.
That was at half time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so you can't accuse him of taking too long then.
He then gets Miller on the park, gets Morelos, top goal scorer on the park. Sometimes your players just don't react to situations. I think they let them down. Whether they're good enough, I think looking at the squad, I think they're certainly good. I don't think they're in Celtic's class, but I think they're good enough to finish second, especially with the budget, especially with the new players that have been brought in. But no disrespect, I don't think Rangers should be losing to, you know, teams like, for instance, Hamilton and even Kilmarnock. I know they're in a terrific run, but Kilmarnock going to Ibrox, I don't think they should be losing there. So the players have got to step up. They've come here with, a lot of them think, big reputations. You look at guys like Jamie Murphy, for instance, everybody, what a fantastic signing. I thought he was poor. Jason Cummings got his chance on Saturday after everybody screaming that he should be in the team. Yeah, you can argue that he didn't get the service. He didn't play particularly well. Goss, as I said, everybody after 2-3 games shouting, we must sign him. This is a lad that's only played some like 17 games in his career, you know, and he play in front of that sort of a crowd. So there's a lot there. Windass, who I always say I like Windass, but all of a sudden you sit after about 70 minutes, and if he's not off the park, you go, where is he? He goes missing. He scored against Celtic a fantastic goal after 2 minutes or something, and never seen him again. So there's a lot of players have got to take the responsibility. It's okay coming up and saying, well, we've got good reputations, we've played at a level. Russell Martin's been a Scottish international. Alves, the career that he's got, that's all on paper. You've got to be able to produce it when the pressure's on. And just now at Ibrox, that ain't happening.
It's interesting. I actually made the point after listening to the Declan John interview earlier in the show that maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe they're not good enough for where they need to be. And, you know, if the rest of the season is an audition for Graeme Murty in terms of getting the job on a permanent basis or not, then the rest of the season is an audition for an awful lot of Rangers players as well, because, you know, Cummings is only on loan. Goss is only on loan. Martin's only on loan. You know, Miller's contract's up. Bates' contract's up. Cranjar's contract's up. So if Murty goes and a new guy is in, then a lot of these players in the next few weeks are going to have to waken up and realise that if they don't perform between now and the end of the season, they might not get a chance to do it for Rangers again.
The only thing I'll say, Roger, quickly, as you said, they might not be good enough for where they want to be now. Every Rangers fan just now would take second.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Right, every Rangers fan would take second. So I'm saying I think they are good enough to be second. I've said that they will finish second. Because when you look below them, the only team that I really see that's improved this year, really improved, is Hibs. under Neil Lennon. I think Hibs are a real exciting team to watch. I think they're a good team. They've come up for the championship. They've brought in good players. They're well organised. They've got a bit of excitement about them. So Hibs, but take Hibs out of the equation, they won't finish second, I don't think. I think Rangers should be finishing second. And the cup's a fantastic bonus, because all of a sudden, in a few weeks' time, I don't see it happening before everybody starts phoning in, if Rangers can reverse that and win that cup tie, well, Graeme Murray and these players will be heroes once again.
Thank you to Robert in Thornley Bank. Let's hear from Andrew Robertson. He's been speaking to Sky Sports, saying he's already seeing the positive signs at the beginning of Alex McLeish's Scotland reign. He says it's now the turn of the players to show the new boss they have what it takes to be a key part of the squad. Now, the left back has been tipped as one of the favourites to become the new captain. This is after Scott Brown's retirement, but Robertson claims those boots will be big to fill, whoever is given the armband.
So far so good, you know, him and all the coaches have came across really well, and you know, but I think we'll be in more of a position by the end of the week once we get more training sessions and you know, a couple of games under our belt under him, and we can see how he fully works. I think it will take certainly this week for him to get his points across. But you know, like I said, first impressions are always important, and in his meeting yesterday, you know, he came across very positive and gave all the boys belief, I think, coming out of it, and that's what we need. And you know, long may that continue. So I think it helps that a new manager's in, because it's a clean slate for everyone. You know, we all have to prove ourselves to the manager. He's obviously seen us play for his club. We've never worked under him other than, you know, maybe Greggsy and stuff that have worked under him at Rangers. But, you know, other than that, we need to prove ourselves, and we need to prove that we are worthy of a starting 11 or to be in the squad. So I think that will help the young lads and the new lads in the squad and maybe boys that maybe didn't get a chance under previous managers. So that's the excitement of a new manager, and especially international football. A lot can change in the last, you know, couple of months since the last one, and people are, you know, breathing in confidence, and hopefully we can use that. If you ask any of the boys, would you like to be Scotland captain, or would you like to captain your country, whatever that may be, then I don't think anyone will turn their nose at it. You know, maybe the press have just thought another chance to make it, you know, me against KT, but, you know, there's plenty of candidates in there. I've been in the squad with the experienced lads, and you know, there's a lot of leaders in there. Even when Bruni was here, there was still, you know, more than just one leader. But, you know, he was a fantastic captain for a number of years. And I think we were very lucky to have him and Darren Fletcher, who both led by example and done a terrific job. And I think whoever gets it will have big boots to fill.
Is Andrew Robertson your choice for Scotland captain? And if not, who not? Why not, should I say? And who should it be? 01419511025. Roger, listen, captains are there for a number of reasons, and it clearly comes down to a bit more than this, Roger. But just even when you listen to him talk, he sounds incredibly level-headed, talks a good game, and that's matching up with what he's doing on the field at the moment.
Yeah, doing very well on the field. A great ball in for one of Mo Salah's goals for Liverpool on Saturday night against Watford. He's in the best form of his Liverpool career, certainly. I think Alan McLeish had something of a quandary as to how to get both Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney into his team. On this occasion, the quandary doesn't really, you know, work out, because Kieran Tierney's not there for the Costa Rica and Hungary games. I wouldn't read too much into who is captain for these two games. I think the squad will evolve through the two games in the summer in Peru and Mexico, and by the time the Nations League games start against Albania at Hampden in September, I think that's when Alec McLeish will probably appoint a permanent captain. I would expect it to be Kieran Tierney, and that's why I say, if, you know, for these two games, whether it's an Andy Robertson, whether it's a John McGinn, whoever it is, I'm not too sure they'll be the permanent captain anyway.
Would Robertson do it for you, Gordon?
Yeah, I think the boy's terrific. Obviously having a great season with Liverpool, Gordon. He's grown since he went to Liverpool under Klopp, and he's been terrific. And yeah, I'm the same with Roger. I think that Alec will just look at it, he'll pick a captain in these friendlies, and by the time the real business starts, he'll have it in place. Would I be against Tierney? Not really. I think it'll be a young captain, but enthusiasm about it. Tierney's obviously captain Celtic
and Scotland once before.
Yeah, and took that responsibility very, very well. I don't think it makes as Andrew Robertson says there. Even when Scott Brown was a captain, he was in amongst experienced players that led like captains as well. It's just about performing.
Graham and Paisley, what do you think?
Hi, panel. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Graham.
I think Ian Tierney should captain Scotland, because really, he's captained Celtic before. He's he's obviously played a lot of games with Scott Brown. He's a really good captain. I think Kieran Tierney will pick up on a lot of Scott Brown's, you know, the way he goes about being captain. I think he'll grow into the, he'll take the armband. I think he'll be a great captain for Scotland. So I do.
I know, sorry Graham, I know that Tierney's been a captain, but sometimes as a player, either suits your game or it doesn't. You know, you want that extra responsibility, or you think to yourself, no, I just want to concentrate in my own game. It's not a big deal in the fact of, it's a big deal captain your country. Of course it is, growing up, you always want to do that. But when you're on that park, you're concentrating your own game first and foremost. You're trying to help your teammates. There's a lot of captains out there. There's some guys that go out and they'll talk non-stop for 90 minutes, and there are other guys that will just go about their business and be very quiet. There's all different characters out there. If young Tierney gets it, I've nothing against that, because he's going to be in the Scotland squad, you know, for a long, long time. But I'm not really getting who's going to be the captain doesn't really excite me.
Well, I think he's got the mentality to keep his game at a top level, and also kind of like bring out the best in other players. I think he's a really good young player. And so obviously you've got him and Robertson both left back. You think Kieran Tierney? I would play him left mid.
No, I don't think Alec will do that. I don't think that works. I know what you're saying. You're thinking, well, the two of them play left back, play one in front of each other, can cover each other. It doesn't work. I know what your point is, Graham. I think that if he's got to...
Why not? Just explain that to us a bit.
Because I think that Tierney and Robertson are the same sort of players. They like to see the full length of the pitch, Gordon.
So
like
picking the ball up deep and having space in front, and rather than being in a corner, so to speak, and having
middle to front. I think the two of them like to see the full pitch. I think they like to just get their legs open up and away they go, and they make great runs, good timing of the runs. I don't see that working with one in front of each other and then covering each other. Could be wrong. Alec might look to go to maybe three at the back with a wing back.
As Roger says, we don't have to worry about that this time anyway.
No, exactly. But when Tierney's back, it will be the big question point.
Yep.
How do you fit two terrific left backs into our team?
We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Frank Smith is having Andy Robertson. He says, I think he should be captain. He's playing against top players week in, week out. Well, better players, he says, sorry, week in, week out. We're going to take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. I was just thinking, Roger, new Scotland strip out today. Yellow, away kit. It was the Dazzler's birthday at the weekend. I'm wondering, you didn't get one on pre-order for your birthday or anything, did you?
No, but I got a strip.
DL 64 in the back,
no,
your age.
No, I got a strip, but it wasn't a Scotland strip, Gordon.
Man City?
No. You know the strip I got.
Oh, it's a new Motherwell away top.
Yeah, beautiful.
I'm sure you did.
Beautiful.
And by the way, they're very hard on you. That's not the first jibe I've heard in the last week suggesting you might be over the big 6-0, Daz.
Not even anywhere near it, Roger. Yeah. But no, it fits me perfect. A medium.
There we go. On Twitter, back to the captain's debate, if you can call it that. Brian sums the situation up quite nicely. He says they must consider the captain across three roles: field, dressing room and ambassadorial. All important. Kevin Gold says, hi guys, I'd pick Kieran Tierney. He's young and a great player for the future, and I'm a Rangers fan, but a football fan first. Here's a different question then, Roger, because I can see the way this conversation is going. Can you give me a name that isn't Andrew Robertson or Kieran Tierney?
Among the possibilities, you would think may well be John McGinn, because people keep saying John McGinn is the ready-made replacement for Scott Brown in the team. So if he has those attributes, would John McGinn long-term be a candidate for the captaincy? If we believe John McGinn's going to be a regular in the team, he's going to take on that Scott Brown mantle. Is that type of player in that kind of position ideal for the captaincy?
Very interesting. Keep the thoughts coming on the phones. 01419511025. Daryl is a Celtic fan in Cumbernauld. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, gents. How are we doing? All right?
Yes, Daryl. What's your point?
good stuff. Well, first of all, I want to say a late happy birthday to Mr. DL.
Thank you, Darryl.
74 was
it? Brilliant. I'm happy with that, Darryl.
Not a problem. Right, that's me done, guys. See you later. Right, my point was there, I'm not 100% sure Kieran Tierney or Andrew Robertson should be given the captaincy. You know, they're two cracking players, probably the best players in Scotland at the moment, or for Scotland. It's a bit of a headache for McLeish to have in order, you know, in the sense of who is he going to play out of Tierney and Robertson, because they're both cracking left backs. The call that was previously on said, that the he picked Robertson over Tierney because he's playing against better players. That won't necessarily be the case. You know, I actually think Kieran Tierney's a better left back. I know it's, you know, he's up against different types of players and whatnot, but I think he's a better left back, and I think he'd be the better captain over Robertson, but I wouldn't pick Tierney over John McGinn. I think he's probably the prime candidate for the captaincy. He's a similar player to Scott Brown. He'll boss that midfield, and he's got that look about him. Do you know what I mean? He's got that sort of determined look about him when he's playing a game of football, and they'll rub off on the players on the park, and I think he's probably the best sort of replacement for Brown.
And he's captained under 21s, I suppose, as well. Roger, is there anyone else then? Those three would be considered, in some cases, Tierney in particular, very young. The other two, relatively young, and in McGinn's case, relatively inexperienced internationally. But I suppose the squads had such an overhaul recently, and listen, future squads may be different. You're struggling for others.
The entire squad is inexperienced internationally. Yeah. You know, people talk about Scott Brown not being there, but there's no Darren Fletcher or James Morris.
Or there's Snodgrass.
There's no Christoph Berra.
Did you say MacArthur there?
There's
as well?
No MacArthur, yeah. Either. There's, you know, because of injury, there's no Russell Martin this time. So unless they give the captaincy to a Charlie Mulgrew or an Alan McGregor, then it's going to be a less experienced person. I'm a bit like Daz. I don't think it matters greatly. I sometimes think, you know, I think that's about club football as well. Sometimes we get too excited about who's walking out at the head of the line.
Is it just me though? Does it not feel a bit more important when it's the country?
Not necessarily. No. Not for I don't want to play it down.
Oh no, I'm not talking about for this game alone. No.
I think by the time we get to the important stuff, the Nations League stuff in September, then Alan McLeish will make an appointment, and you know, people can agree with it or disagree with it.
So might that be the tactic then, Gordon, this time? Just give it to Mulgrew for this game.
Yeah,
no one's going to bat an eyelid.
Exactly. And then gives them a little bit of time to get to know the squad, know the characters, Gordon, and then pick one for there. But where Darryl, I think, makes a terrific point, I'm the same. I'm not too fussed about the captain just now. You look at, we've got two fantastic left backs. Now, everybody will say, well, Alec can change his shape and put young Tierney in as left centre back where he's played with Celtic, and he'll do very, very well. But I agree with Darryl. I think Kieran Tierney's strength is left back. So we're unfortunate that two of the best players that we've got are both really left backs. Darryl?
No, I agree with that. Like, I also agree with the fact that the captaincy is not a major point, because if you've got the right team on the park, they'll all work together, they'll all help each other out, they'll all be the captain. And I think that's more a point that Alex McLeish should focus on, is make everybody gel together, not just you know, the one captain to deal with the park. Everybody should help each other out, you know, because having a left back as captain, how are you going to tell the right winger what to do? Do you know what I mean? You're going to pass it through the team. So I think it should either be somebody in the middle of the park to boss it, you know, like Scott Brown's been doing for a number of years, or he should, you know, put somebody as captain, but get the team to work together and to focus on all of them being a captain at the one time. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
It's important whatever team you have that there are leaders everywhere in the team, and there are players who take responsibility. Daz will tell you, when Daz won that League Cup with Raith Rovers many years ago that he doesn't like to speak about, he was captain. He was a guy who walked up and raised the cup at the end of the game. But if you look at that team, there was captains right through the team. You know, you look.
No, I don't agree with that. I think there's only one.
I'm also, I've got Brian's tweet as well, still here. It says, I must consider the captain across three fields, three roles: field, dressing room, and ambassadorial. I'm just wondering which one, Gordon Dale, which category he falls into.
Go for them again. Field.
Yeah, terrific.
Dressing room and ambassadorial.
Yeah, terrific. Right.
Well, he only ever covered about 6 yards of the field. Dressing room, yeah, I could see he could be an influence in there. Ambassadorial.
Not having it.
We'll leave that one hang, I think.
Stevie's in Barhead. Hi, Stevie.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, yeah, good, Stevie.
First of all, I was actually going to talk about Murty, but it can't be John McGinn for the captaincy, in my opinion. Not yet, anyway. I think he needs to establish himself as a first-team regular in the team before you could even talk about him becoming a captain. He's made a lot of subs appearances, and obviously he's been doing well for Hibs, and he ticks all the boxes in terms of, you know, he's like a Scott Brown-type player, but I don't think you can throw somebody in the captaincy, Tierney or...
I think it's five caps at the moment, Stevie, so you're anticipating someone with a few more.
I think so, but not to say, you know, for future reference, but say we're in a fortunate position that we've got a lot of young guys coming through, and hopefully the next captain, bar an injury, will be the captain for the next, you know, 5-10 years. But for me, anyway, he needs to establish himself as a first team killer, and I don't think he's quite there yet. Not to say he's not going to be in the next regime, but as yet, it's too soon for me, for him.
Yeah. Stevie, time's against me a wee bit, so just fire on right through with your second point before I get the guys' thoughts.
I don't understand this clamber, the criticism that Murty's getting here. I mean, the Rangers remit, you touched on it a wee bit earlier on, Rangers would bite your hand off, would have bitten your hand off for second place in a cup this season. And as it stands just now, they're on course. Never mind getting beat against Celtic and then getting beat off Kilmarnock. They're on course for doing that. They're there or thereabouts. I never hear any clamber for Derek McInnes, whose remit would probably be the same, to finish second and win a cup. That'd be a good season for Aberdeen. If Celtic beat Aberdeen and then Aberdeen drop points at home or lose somebody else, there's never a clamber for, or should McInnes go? Is he the man for the job? Rangers need to know their place, and I'm all for a stronger Rangers and better competition, because it's quite frankly getting a wee bit boring, right? But Rangers need to know their place. They don't have a divine right to be second and all the rest of it. If they come second and they win a cup, it's a great season for them. Murty will have done a great job. I don't understand what they expect. And see, with regards to it, next season, it's a shoo-in that Celtic will win the league, and I'll tell you why. Half the Rangers team just now are made up of loan signings. And again, I think Roger touched on it. He ringed off a few names. Russell Martin, first-team regular when he's fit. Goss has been a first-team regular. Cummins, okay, maybe not, but he's settled in. Murphy and a few other ones. If they go ahead and buy these players, they're not actually supplementing their squad for next season. They're only buying players who are already playing in the first team. So to actually improve their first 11 for next year, they would not only need to buy these loan signings, but also need to buy more players to supplement the other positions.
Okay, thank you to Stevie in Barrhead. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, as many sporting general knowledge questions right as you can, head to head with one of the pundits to try and win yourself a signed ball. If tonight's the night you think you can come on and get a victory, you better pick up that phone right now. 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diehl and Roger Hanna are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from returning Celtic winger Patrick Roberts very soon, so if you've got any thoughts on him, his teammates or anything else at the moment, you know the number to dial, and we'll get to that after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, it is time for tonight's Beat the Pundit. Gordon Diehl and Roger Hanna both ready to take someone on. Let's find out who that someone is going to be. He's Davy Ashcroft. He's a Rangers fan from Barrhead. How are you tonight, Davy?
Yeah, very good, guys. Yourself?
Yes, cannot complain. You looking forward to this? Do you fancy your chances, or are you one of them that you're just taking a punt and hoping for the best?
Well, I come on about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I got absolutely beat. So I'm hoping to do a wee bit better this time.
By who?
I can't actually remember.
Oh well,
Mark Wilson.
Surely
not. Obviously Mark Wilson.
Surely not. I'm going to toss the coin anyway. Heads, it's Roger Hanna. Tails, it's Gordon Diehl. And it is heads. Don't mean to put a damper on things, Davey, but I don't think Roger's lost in about 3.5 decades at this. But we'll see how you go.
No pressure then.
Exactly.
Good
no
luck,
pressure
David.
At all. We'll give Roger some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't listen to you. Davey, it's please, Gordon, no singing if you don't mind. Davey, 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep, on you go.
How many points clear are Celtic at the top of the Ladbrokes Premiership?
Eight.
What colour is the new Scotland away top?
Yellow.
In what decade did Costa Rica first appear at the World Cup?
60s.
Which German side play at the Allianz Arena?
Bayern Munich.
What is the nationality of Rangers midfielder Niko Kranjčar?
Croatian.
Who's the top scorer in the history of the World Cup?
Pass.
Which Formula One constructor does Lewis Hamilton race for?
Mercedes.
Okay, let's bring Roger Hanna back. Gordon DL, if you could halt your singing once more, please. That was disturbing. Ruined my night. It was so bad.
The real thing.
30 seconds. Same questions to you, Roger. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm sure you are. Okay. How many points clear are Celtic at the top of the Ladbrokes Premiership?
10.
What colour is the new Scotland away top?
Yellow.
In what decade did Costa Rica first appear at the World Cup?
The 90s.
Which German side play at the Allianz Arena?
Bayern Munich.
What nationality is Rangers midfielder Niko Kranjčar?
Croatian.
Who is the top scorer in the history of the World Cup?
Miroslav Klose.
Which Formula One constructor does Lewis Hamilton race for?
Mercedes.
Okay.
Full house.
Davey, I thought you did not too bad. How are you feeling?
I think I'm beat, but I think it's quite close.
Yeah, I think you put up certainly a good fight. Let's go through them and see how many points clear are Celtic at the top. Davey, you're a Rangers fan. I sympathise. You may not be looking too much at the gap at the moment, but it is 10 points, as Roger quite rightly says. So 1-0 to Roger. On to question two. Easy question this. What colour is the new Scotland away top? It is yellow. Both got that right. 2-1 to Roger. In what decade did Costa Rica first appear at the World Cup? It is the 90s. 1990 to be precise. I'm sure you remember that one, Roger. 3-1 to Roger. On to the next one. It's Bayern Munich who play at the Allianz. 4-2. So you're giving a good account of yourself, Davey, that's for sure. It goes to 5-3 because you both knew that Croatian was the answer for Niko Kranjčar. And this was the one that really sealed it. Who's the top scorer in the history of the World Cup? Miroslav Klose. So still 6-3 to Roger then. On to the next one. Didn't matter in the end. Formula One constructor that Lewis Hamilton races for is Mercedes. 7 to Roger and 4 to you, Davey. Listen, 4 is not bad at all, but Roger was on fire. Hard lines.
Yeah, beat by the better guy.
Good very, man, Davey. Good effort. Thanks for taking part.
Cheers, Davey. All the best.
There we are. That was Davey in Barrhead. You're nodding away. Would you have done well tonight?
Yes, Gordon? I would have. But we need to handicap him a little bit.
Think so?
Yeah. put me on every week.
Put a big tape over his mouth or
give
something.
Give him 20 seconds.
Seven is ridiculous.
They were quite easy tonight. They were doable, shall we say? They're never easy. 01419511025. Keep your calls coming, please. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Just while we're on the subject of quizzes and beat the pundit and all the rest of it, see tonight's full time teaser. Roger, I think Gordon DL's brain is going to explode. That's all I'm going to say.
I disagree. Last week in the full time teaser, he was outstanding.
No, but as soon as I get to the end of the question, I think he's just going to.
Yeah, the Costa Rica one was. I'm still thinking about that.
Anyway, that's coming up a bit later on tonight. Let's hear from Patrick Roberts. He says his spell on the sidelines felt like the longest period of his career. He made his long awaited return, of course, at Fir Park at the weekend. The Man City loanee says it was torture to miss some of Celtic's biggest games of the season, but hopes he can make his mark in the final games of the campaign.
It's been the longest 4 months, but it's good to be back out. Shame about the result, but we didn't lose and we carry on. Yeah, it's been tough, obviously. Just getting the fitness back, the match that I had before I got injured. And yeah, it's tough, but it's worked hard to get and kick on now. It's the magnitude of games you miss when I came here, and to miss is disappointing, but I understand that. When you get injured, you'll have some games, so it's all about working hard to get back fit and finishing the season strong. There's only a few games left now. Scottish Cup, obviously, playing, obviously the games in the league, so I can just hopefully get us on the pitch and get back to what I was doing before I got injured.
It was the long-awaited comeback, of course, on Sunday, Gordon, and in many ways it seemed all set up for Patrick Roberts. Exactly the type of game that in the past few months Celtic have missed him in. Games when they're struggling to break teams down. But listen, I'm sure you cut the guy a bit of slack. He didn't do too much wrong when he came on. He and his teammates just couldn't quite find that breakthrough.
Yeah, and he was a bit unlucky. The one that comes off the bar, he cuts inside onto his left foot. Terrific strike. But you're right, Gordon. I think Celtic do miss someone of his quality. Whether he starts a game or whether he comes on, because he's a very good talent to bring on. He's a different player from James Forrest. James Forrest more direct down the right-hand side. Patrick Roberts likes to beat the men, comes inside, plays lovely balls, giving goes. I think Brendan Rodgers, especially with the run into the end of the season now, will be delighted to get him back to full fitness. And as the player said there, there's nothing worse for a player being injured and not being able to train and not look forward to the next game. And, you know, you're with the physios all the time and you're reporting at a different time to get treatment. So, he'll be delighted to be back in the squad now.
And a big summer for Patrick Roberts. Never mind the run into the season. You know, he'll go back to Manchester City. With the best will in the world, you cannot see Patrick Roberts breaking into that Manchester City first team. It's arguably the best first team in Premiership history. So what does Patrick Roberts do? Does he decide to leave? Does he go to another team in the English Premiership? Does he go overseas? Or could Celtic afford to sign him on a permanent basis?
I think you're right, Roger. I think you've got to be exceptional to get into that Manchester City's first team, especially down that right flank. But he's a terrific talent, the lad.
I'm letting that one go.
If he doesn't make it with Manchester City, which I don't think he will, then obviously he's got a great future in front of him because he is a fantastic talent.
Roger actually quoted you on last night's show. Would you believe? Yes, your legend lives on when you're not here. We were talking, of course, because Patrick Roberts may have come on, but the game on Sunday in many ways was overshadowed by the refereeing decision. We await to see the outcome of that appeal. And I said that you are very much of the mindset that you just don't try and second guess these things, because there are so many cases when you think that's nailed on to be overturned and you get egg in your face sometimes.
Let me tell you, all my years of experience, anything could happen with this appeal at the weekend. Is it beyond the realms of possibility that an appeals panel deem Cypri's reaction as being violent conduct? Now, I don't think it is beyond the realms of possibility. It would not surprise me if the red card was upheld. Now, I know there'll be Motherwell fans screaming at the radios at the minute, but the experience of the SFA appeals procedure would tell you it is a possibility.
Laurie's in Denison. Hi, Laurie.
Panel, good evening.
Hi, Laurie.
Evening, guys, what I would like to say tonight is I've listened to the Celtic fan, Stevie from Barhead, of an age where he has no recollection of Celtic playing second fiddle to Rangers, as I have. I think, no harm to you, Stevie, but you know what? Your arrogance is breathtaking. You should understand Celtic have no divine right to success in the league. I'm of an age where Celtic played second fiddle to Rangers for many, many years. Anyway, I
didn't know Stevie was that young, Laurie.
Well, he sounds extremely young compared to myself. I'm in my 62nd year.
I'll take your word for it, Laurie.
Gordon, you know. Brendan Rodgers is so off. And this is my main point, guys. Please give me an audience of this for a couple of minutes. Normally I try and make my points very succinctly.
A couple of minutes?
Mm-hmm. But I would like to enlarge on this a wee bit if I can, if you would afford me that luxury, Gordon.
Go on then.
Brendan Rodgers has saw off two pretenders to his throne already, Mark Warburton and Pedro Coutinho. You know what? The thing that really strikes me is that Graham Murty, prior to losing against Celtic and Kilmarnock, was being hailed almost as a messianic figure. Every Rangers supporter that was coming on was clamouring for him to be given a job, not even waiting until the end of the season, but assigned the position permanently as of now. The last two results have changed that. Now, I think myself that surely the problem, and there's also other Rangers supporters now, I've listened to them the last couple of nights, advocating, Stephen Robinson and Stevie Clark as Rangers managers after Murty's tenure finishes at the end of May. Surely the problem, however, and this is the bottom line, is a lack of pedigree in the pitch. Unless there is a major and massive investment by Rangers on the playing field, they are destined to play second fiddle to Celtic. I couldn't care less who was in charge of Rangers. Personally, I'm delighted as a Celtic fan. I hope we continue to conquer all. We've got a fantastic manager. We've got a guy who's only lost two games in 80-plus domestic matches. He can't match that, admittedly, in Europe. I understand that. So there is a chasm between what we do domestically and in Europe. I'm the first one to acknowledge that. But for the Rangers supporters, who are invoking the likes of Stephen Robinson and Stevie Clark, surely there has to be a recognition and an acknowledgement on their part that they're signing guys from the English Championship, four or five players, who are not capable of getting games for their parent clubs in the second-tier English football. Now, admittedly, before anybody listening to this says, well, Celtic also have loanees. We do. We've got Masonda from Chelsea, a team of proven European pedigree. Patrick Roberts from Manchester City, and Edward and so on from PSG. They're European heavyweights. They've been loaned out to Celtic to give them European experiences. The guys who are playing for Rangers are playing for Rangers, quite frankly, because they are unable or incapable of getting a game for teams in the second tier of English football. The panel says.
Well, you touch on it doesn't matter who the manager is. I disagree with that. I think the manager plays a big part. We'll take Stevie Clark, who everybody's talking about just now. When he took over Kilmarnock, they were very poor, bottom of the league. Look at the run they've been on. Went up against Celtic, up against Rangers, beating them. So he's done very, very well. Yes, you need the quality on the park, but a manager can make a big, big difference, especially to a team that's maybe not got the finances that other teams have got. You can go back, and I know everybody will say it's a one-off. Have a look at Leicester in that year, with an experienced manager who got a group of players.
You're right, it was a one-off.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying, Gordon. So you just don't, you can't write teams off because you think, I don't care who the product, the players in the pitch aren't good enough. Organisation, everything. Brendan Rodgers gets the biggest pat in the back when he came into Celtic. Look at what they talk about, how he improved certain players, how he changed the style of the football, how he went about his business. So as much as Laurie makes some great points, it will be very hard to overturn self. Of course it will be. But I think you can make yourself better. You can bring in the players that you want to fit your system, make you very difficult to beat, make you organised. And as we touched on there, if you look at Kilmarnock just now, they're not frightened to take anybody on. They've come up against all the so-called top teams in Scotland and won.
Speaking of Kilmarnock, Andy and Alexandra wants to talk about Stevie Clark, I believe. Hi, Andy.
Hiya. To get Stevie Clark in as Rangers manager is justified. There was a record of his managerial career. I know he's a number two. He's been a number two in Jose Mourinho. His career's not been that great. He's done well at Kilmarnock. I take my hat off to him for there, but I honestly don't think it's what Rangers should be doing. There's one man that I always think he should have brought back, but he's been a Scotland manager. So the next one down, I think you should bring Walter Smith back for a couple of years and get Rangers back in an even keel. I think Walter Smith, he's a Rangers man. That's not just what I'm saying it for. He's done that. He's got a T-shirt. He's got the titles to prove it as well. And I don't think he's that old, you know what I mean? He's still young in terms of a manager. I know he's been away from the game for a few years, but he's at the games every day, every second week. He's watching football. He's commenting on football. I just think it's a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer to bring in. We just can't have another, how can I put it? They can't have another gamble. The gamble would be Pedro. Everybody could see it was wrong. Marty's steadied the ship, but Marty can't take him any further. It's going to be like this next season if they stick with Marty. You know, I mean, just the 2 weeks apart, home and away leagues, Rangers are second to Celtic only, and if they won the game in hand against that one, they'd be top of the away league, the home league. But the home one is the one that's letting us down, and I think the manager's got to get a lot of blame for that.
Andy, just on Stevie Clark, and by the way, this is not me saying he is or isn't the man for Rangers, I don't think that's the question. Are you not being a bit harsh ignoring the fact that he took West Brom to eighth, their best ever English Premier League finish?
I know, but I think Rangers will be backing up the wrong three there. And I don't think Stevie Clark, and it's not to do with his Celtic-minded background, I don't think Stevie Clark, I think they would go down another line the same as McInnes. I don't think he would think Rangers were the right club at that time, because there's no pressure on them at Rangers. Kamarnock, there's no pressure on them, Kamarnock. You're going to get Kamarnock. They were nearly bottom of the league when they came in. Really nobody expected to do what he's doing at Kamarnock just now. So the pressure was less. Even now, I mean, the pressure's still less at Kamarnock than it would be at Rangers. And I honestly don't think you could take Rangers much better than Rangers are now. Rangers need investment. That's my second point. There's
time's a bit against me, if I'm being completely honest, Andy. Let's
deal with that one. Investment, because Andy touched it, Laurie touched it before. Any team that's going to be successful needs a level of investment. Rangers made changes in January. Circumstances dictated that a lot of the players that came in January came in on loan. That's not necessarily a bad thing. If you look at the January transfer window, there are an awful lot of loan deals done. Celtic did one for Charlie Musonda as well. But in the summer, if Rangers are to close the gap further and to have realistic ambitions of a title race next season, there is going to have to be a level of investment. Now, whether that involves the sale of Morelos and reinvesting that money into three or four or five players, so be it. But Rangers won't close the gap unless they spend money.
Johnny Holloway tweeted me saying, "What Celtic connection are people always talking about?" Clearly a Kelly fan growing up. And he sent me a picture of Stevie Clark. It looks like a magazine clipping from way back, and it says, "Team you supported as a boy," and it says, "Kilmarnock. My brother Paul plays with them now." We've got a cracking full time teaser coming up, and we're going to get to that next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's 0141 951 1025 for you to get in touch. Still plenty of time to do it, so let us know what is on your mind. Now, I've got a bit of a warning for you. If you're going to take part in tonight's teaser, you're probably going to need a pen and paper. That's all I'm going to say. Listen, it's not compulsory. You may be of a certain mental capacity that you can just do this off the top of your head, but a pen and paper will help. So, sent in by Martin Burns. We are looking for 11 players who've scored 20 or more goals in the English Premier League. You following me so far?
Mm-hmm.
And whose full names contain all the vowels. I told you you'd struggle with this. Which 11 players have scored 20 or more goals in the English Premier League and whose full names contain the vowels?
Not 20 a season, just 20 all in.
Yeah, just the all in.
That's just ridiculous.
I'm just thinking it's going Harry Kane. Has he got them all now?
No, he hasn't.
He's not got the O.
So we're looking for 11 players who've scored 20 or more goals in the English Premier League and whose full names contain all the vowels. I actually didn't even seem this ridiculous when I read it silently earlier on in the office, and now that I'm reading it out loud.
Come on, 20.
I mean, we're just one step away from 20 scorers who own spaniels.
Yeah, I know. But I've got the listen, Roger. You're a victim of your own success. You can't come on here every week, get every answer right ever, and then complain when they're too hard. Anyway,
Andy Cole. Andy
Cole.
I'm just going to shout out there.
Folks, this could be a long. Night.
When does the show end?
Well, it might need to be extended.
Hey, wait, have you got one yet?
No.
I don't
expect to get one at all.
Yeah, you will, Roger. You say this every week. Anyway, right, let's hear from Alan McGregor, shall we? Back in the Scotland squad, this time, of course, Alan McGregor. And he says that he's glad to be back. He still feels he's got plenty to offer. And he says the goalkeeping position is as strong as ever. The former Rangers goalie's been plagued by injuries, but does hope to cement a place in the squad under new boss Alex McLeish.
I wouldn't say I feel old, no, it's just a number, isn't it? Age. Sometimes a big one like mine enough, but no, it's just a number. Scott, it's good to be back. I've been for, I don't know, maybe this time last year, I think the last time, so just good to be back fit and no having any pain, to be honest. So every time I've had an injury, even in the past, when I was younger, I had a bad one in my wrist. It never really came into my head, no. I was just always doing what I need to do to get back fit, whether it be in the gym with the physios or whatever, so that. It never really crossed my mind, though. No. Like me, Craig and Marsh, have always sort of been playing or in about the squads for, as I said, for the last 10, even probably longer than that, to be fair. Big John's done well this season to come in the squad, and Jordan's obviously played with the 21s and he's been in the squad for a wee while now. So I think it's in good hands, goalkeeping wise. Just, I think we've been unlucky and close on a number of occasions, but my attitude towards it's never really changed. You're always going out trying to win a game, so that's just why I don't think it's changed now.
Now, McGregor is out of contract with Hull come the end of the season, but he says he's not spoken to any clubs about his future yet. The 36-year-old says he feels as good as he did a decade ago and has no plans to hang up the gloves anytime soon.
I don't know, it's not to me. If clubs want you, then... How did I get out of this one, by the way? If clubs want you, then they contact you or whatever and then see what happens, but you can't force yourself upon any teams.
Do you feel you still have quite a lot left in your career?
I feel good for my age. I feel good. I don't feel any different than I was 5-10 years ago. So, obviously it's going to hit you at one point, but I can't see it being in the near future. When you get strikers who score 31 season, 25 the next season, oh, he wasn't as good as last season, but he's still good. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of these things. Like, you can't dictate when you're going to make great saves, or you just go on with it and try and do your best.
Roger, do you anticipate clubs north of the border being alerted to Alan McGregor's situation?
Yes, without doubt. I think Hearts are looking at them already. You know, Hearts are probably going to lose John McLaughlin back down south in the summer. He's one that Craig Levein never had his admiration for. You would wonder about Rangers again. Could Wes Fotheringham attract bids from English clubs in the summer? Would that open up an opportunity for Alan McGregor to go back to Rangers? I watched it at the weekend and the Hull didn't have their greatest day at Birmingham in the snow, lost 3-0. Had it not been for Alan McGregor, they could have lost 6-0. So he clearly, even at 37 years of age, still has something about him. I think he always keeps himself quite reasonable nick physically. So yeah, he could have, you know, another 2 or 3 years left for someone, be it a Rangers, be it a Hearts, be it somewhere else.
You could see him coming and doing a job, couldn't you, Gordon?
Oh, certainly, yes. He's a very good goalkeeper, Gordon. Great experience as well. So no, absolutely no doubts that he can step in there and do a terrific job for Scotland.
Now, don't mean to put you under pressure, but lots of people are getting in touch with answers to this teaser. Apart from Raffles, who says it's the worst question ever. Honestly, there's nothing entertaining in that. Raffles,
I'm 100% disagree with Raffles. Go for it, Dad.
You've got two?
Yeah.
I think the best question of the night, to be fair, comes from Stephen, who says, do the panel even know the Vowels?
Yeah. Right, okay. Ruud van Nistelrooy?
Yes. Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yes.
I'm impressed with you. Yep.
You won my next one.
Daz only knows the Vowels because he used to watch Carl Vorder bring the sound down.
Brilliant, loved it. Sergio Aguero?
I'm a bit confused. I didn't expect, no offence Roger, or no offence Gordon, I didn't expect the answers to be coming from over there, Roger. I thought you
I'm out now.
Would be
finished.
Because he's got two: Ruud van Nistelrooy, Sergio Aguero,
Marouane Fellaini.
Yes, Roger. We're off and running.
Nah, you're flying. You're absolutely flying. Some of them are stinking, I'm not going to lie. Some of them absolutely terrible.
Oh no, we're back. We're
but
back.
Anyway, Gary's in Somerston. Hi Gary.
Hi, are you okay?
Yes, what's your point, Gary?
Hi. It's just it's a quick one on the kind of Scotland captaincy you're talking about earlier on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Robertson and Tierney, you need to kind of get a formation. Are they going to play on the left together or on your back three, etc.? But I think we're kind of dismissing the fact that if Scotland were playing a qualifier maybe tomorrow, all these players that are all picked just now, they probably wouldn't start, if that makes sense, because you're still missing your James Morrisons, James McArthurs. And I believe Tom Tierney currently is the Fulham captain. I might be wrong, maybe Roger knows more than me, but I don't know.
No, he is, isn't he, Roger?
Yes, he is. So yep. Scored a very good goal again at the weekend, yep.
Aye, and he's a cracking player. I'm guessing that, and I know you're talking about John McGinn, I think it was you said John McGinn, Roger, I know because of the age and he's a like for like with Brown and stuff, but I don't think John McGinn would get in the starting 11 strongest. I think they're still more down south a bit better than John McGinn, not just because they play down south. I don't mean that because they get tagged better when they're down there, of course they do. But I think you're kind of looking at Morrison, McArthur, even Tom Kearney, they'll start in that kind of hole. Is Darren Fletcher, is he gone now? Is he retired or is he still available?
He's still available, Roger. Is just he? Not been picked this time. I think, Gary, before I let Gary continue, because I think you make a very good point, Roger, there might be this assumption that because Alex McLeish's first squad hasn't included James McArthur, James Morrison, Darren Fletcher, that we have closed the door on those guys, but we're considering that's probably not the case.
I don't think Alex the type to close the door on anyone. James Morrison's injured, hasn't played for West Brom for some time. Darren Fletcher currently is unable to get into Paul Lambert's team at Stoke City. James McArthur was the one that surprised me, Gary. I thought James McArthur, he's been playing regularly for Roy Hodgson at Crystal Palace this season. He's been contributing, he's been scoring goals, and he's not in the squad. And Alec McLeish was asked specifically last week at the squad announcement, had this squad been for two qualifying games, would the personnel be the same? And he said broadly, yes, it would. So you would wonder if there is going to be a comeback for Darren Fletcher, James McArthur, Charlie Adam, James Morrison when he's fit, people like that, Robert Snodgrass, you mentioned earlier, Gordon, is another. Are these guys going to get back into the Scotland squad?
Sorry, one more thing. Who would you play? I know I don't put you on the spot, I don't want to take your time. Who would you play as a mid? If you imagine you played a midfield three, generally most teams do. Who would you pick as your three if we had a qualifier, a crucial game, not just a willy-nilly game?
And everyone's fit?
Yeah, go on, everyone.
Well, if we think we're going 3-5-2, the three in the middle for me would be John McGinn, Stuart Armstrong, and Callum McGregor.
No Scott McTominay?
No.
Do you know one player I think everybody's missing? I think he's been brilliant. Dylan McGeoch.
Yeah. I think he would have been a chance, but he pulled out injured.
I know he's pulled, yeah, but you're talking about. I would have no qualms about throwing him in there. I think he's been absolutely terrific.
So I just want to revisit this, Roger. So after all the stuff surrounding Scott McTominay, he's not even in your team?
No. Come off the bench after 62 minutes at 1-1.
Right, okay. Go along with that? Or does McTominay play for you an ideal world?
Well, in a three, who do you leave out? Roger's put three decent players in there. I said McGeoch, I like him. I think you've got to. See, we always have this players that are in form. Nobody's probably in better form. McGeoch, I think he's been terrific. I know that he's injured just now, but I think if he keeps performing the way he's going about his business, I would play Dylan McGeoch. I think he's a very good player. And if you play with if you play with any of the Manchester teams, Gordon, you've got talent.
Honestly.
Yeah,
on you go, Gary. No, you're
fine. If I know he said he's free there being the three to pick, that's fine. That's obviously preference. But if Tom Kearney, who I think is a cracking player with a cracking left foot, and obviously he'll play more of a kind of forward of the two, etc. If he played up, I know you've picked out McGinn, McGregor and Armstrong. If Tom Kearney played for Celtic, he's their best midfielder by a distance, I'm sorry. So none of those two play. I know he's down there, but if he played for Celtic, he would be their best midfielder, maybe bar Rodic. If that makes sense. I'm not a Celtic fan, so I'm giving you that one. So I think Tom Kearney has to start, in my opinion.
Roger, I mean, he's a player who's certainly been impressing. A lot of English Premier League clubs are interested. We're going to have this debate until the end of time because we see our league more often, and we like it when Scottish-based players get called up.
The one thing I would say in favour of McGregor and Armstrong is we've seen them in elite company. We've seen McGregor scoring goals against Bayern Munich. We've seen Armstrong playing in cup finals and playing for Scotland as well, playing well for Scotland. Kearney, you see him playing for Fulham. He was impressive for Holland Blackburn prior to that. He is a very good player. He was interesting, the likes of West Ham and West Brom in the January window. There is no doubt he has quality. The only question mark over Tom Kearney and also over Kevin McDonald, his teammate at Fulham who's in the squad, is we've only seen them in the Championship in England. Now, I know it's a decent level, but I think there's a step between that and the international level. And I would love Gary to be phoning me back in a year's time to say, I told you so about Tom Kearney when he's captain in Scotland and he's the best player in the park. I would like nothing better.
Newcastle had a £20 million bid rejected him. Am I wrong in saying that?
They were another one. I actually forgot about them. They were very keen on him as well. Yeah, that could be right.
I know it's funny money down there, of course. £20 million means nothing. But £20 million is a lot of money for a Scottish player, of course.
There we are. Thank you to Gary in Somerston. There is still time for you to get your calls into us. More than enough time, actually. 0141 951 1025. The 2P Club says, what about Griffiths for captain? Alistair Briggs is giving this teaser a really good go. I am impressed. Alistair Briggs on Twitter. Tell you what, what's he got? 1, 2, 3. He's got about half of them at least right. In fact, he's got more than that, so he's doing well. Looking for 11 players who've scored 20 or more goals in the English Premier League and whose full names contain all the vowels. You've got Marouane Fellaini, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Sergio Aguero. It should be noted that middle names don't count, just in case that changes anything for you.
Is Paul Gascoigne?
No.
No?
Won't have over 20 Premier League goals. That's probably the one that rules them out rather than the vowels.
No way.
Yeah, but way before the days of English Premier League, wouldn't it?
Played for a bit, didn't he? Was at Middlesbrough. Not over 20.
Who have you got,
Rog? I'm trying to work out if there was a if you ticked all the boxes.
That's what it is. Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll give you a couple of minutes then and we'll get the answers to the full time teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel. Well, it might not be the final part. We might have to extend it if they don't get the answers to this teaser. Although, having said that, you all scoffed and you've had a few moans about how hard it was. You're doing pretty well. We're looking for 11 players who've scored 20 or more goals in the English Premier League and whose full common names contain all the vowels. You've already given me Marouane Fellaini, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Sergio Aguero. And by the way, well done on Twitter. Some of the efforts coming in are spectacular. I'm very impressed. Did you get any during the break?
We got one each.
Paul Rideout.
Yes.
You can have mine now.
Hey, you're swapping, I was going to say.
I thought that sounded bad.
Fantastic. Elhadj Diouf.
Elhadj Diouf is one. So we're looking for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 more. No, that can't be right, is it?
Can't it be 7?
No, 6 more. All right, fine.
Seriously?
Is it Mami Biram Diouf?
Yes. Who? Flying.
Who's that?
Plays with Stoke.
Brilliant, Roger.
Only 5 to get and plenty of time to get them in. Roger, a couple of championship fixtures tonight, of course. And I guess when you're looking at the picture at the top of the league, everything can be viewed around now, really, from a St Mirren perspective as to, you know, when can they win this league? And, and if you're looking at Dundee United, for instance, tonight playing for the second midweek in a row against Queen of the South, this time at home, I think St Mirren are somewhere in the region of 4 games away from winning the league. And of course, that can be accelerated if Dundee United don't win tonight.
Well, we can say the thing that they're not allowed to say in Paisley. We can say it on this show. St Mirren have won the league. St Mirren are champions. St Mirren will be playing in the Premiership next season. The important thing for Livingston, for Dundee United, who I think play Queen of the South tonight, for Jim Duffy's Morton, for Dunfermline, who are away at breaking tonight, the important thing now is not to look at St Mirren, forget St Mirren, they're over the horizon. The important thing is now to find some form, to find some consistency, and to get ready for the playoffs, because their hope of promotion to the Premiership no longer hangs on winning the championship title, because St Mirren are doing that. Their hopes hang on getting through the playoffs, and the playoffs, rightly or wrongly, are weighted against the championship team. Whoever finishes third and fourth would have to win 3 games to go up. So it's important to finish as high up the division as you can and get a bit of momentum to go into those playoffs. Dundee United, who play tonight against Queen of the South, I'll see them against Dunfermline for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. They have been unable to find any consistency, any momentum. Every time they take a step forward, they take 2 steps back. They won at Palmerston last midweek, and then were fortunate to get a draw at home to Inverness on Saturday. So it will be very frustrating for Shabba Laszlo, but if they have any hope of going up, they need to start putting a string of victories together, because they're 19 points behind St Mirren. Even if they win their 3 games in hand, they're still 10 behind. Mm. They're not winning the title. They need to start winning some games.
And of course, could this be the night? Brechin City against Dunfermline. Will Brechin eventually win a game this season? They're very close to going the whole season. They're the only team in Britain that haven't won a league game yet. Will that change tonight? Any more on the teaser?
Struggling, Gordon. Roger.
No, I thought it was going to be a cute one, because was Emil Heskey's middle name not Ivanhoe? We couldn't have Emil Ivanhoe Heskey.
No.
And we're still short of a vowel.
That would be incredible if you'd managed to pull that out the bag, but no. So what I'll give you, as you would, I mean, Paul Rideout, for instance, not exactly an exotic sounding name. The rest definitely are. Think of countries with traditionally long names.
Did he play for West Ham? Is it Bellingham? Yusuf Bellingham, the midfielder?
Roger, can you translate, please?
Yossi Ben Ayoun.
Yes, yeah, that's him.
Well done.
That's him. I'm sorry, I got it.
It's a terrible thing to see. I was turning around looking to see where his phone was.
And he's not got it either.
No.
I'm quite impressed. Well, I'm impressed, but you couldn't really pronounce his name, but still.
No, but I knew who I was talking about.
Yossi Ben Ayoun, 1, 2, 3, 4 to go. All right, let's speak to Peter, who's in Alloa. Hi, Peter.
Hello, good evening.
What's your point tonight, Peter?
Gordon Dale.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, yes, basically, I listened on Saturday, and it was quite nice to hear a Celtic fan, a lad from Belsella, actually, pointing at the Rangers' defence. Mm. Basically, based on the goals lost, Gordon, they'll be fifth in the league. Goals against are shocking. And tonight, the gentleman, the Celtic fan again, he got some valid points on the Championship players on loan. They're just not good enough. But my point is, Gordon, I feel Rangers, that basically they've got a couple of average goalkeepers. They need a right back and a left back on the field. They're playing Tavernier, Declan John, they're both attacking midfielders. They're pushing, missing game in, game out. And when you look at the goals against in the league, I think they've lost 36 goals in 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
Celtic's only lost 20. Rangers have actually scored 60 goals nearly two a game, so their big problem is defence. They keep looking at midfielders and forwards. They've got to fix that defence out. They've got Lee Hodgson, who's an international right back, who's hardly played a game. They play him on left back. The young guy last year, Gordon Veerman, who they put out on loan, who looked a natural, great left back. I know he got rusted a couple of times by Patrick Roberts, but Roberts was at the top of his game last year. So they're going to have to fix the defence. That's three managers actually have had. They were fixed out. And as I said, you've got to make yourself hard to beat, Gordon, to start with, and that's what they're not doing. If you take the seven home games, if you had seven draws there, you've got 7 points. You threw a game on Saturday away. Same the Hibs game, Tavernier threw the game away, silly challenge. So you've got to make yourself hard to beat, Gordon. And with these defenders we've got, there's no chance.
I think the modern day game, Peter, I think you look at Tavernier, I think Tavernier's had a decent season. I really do. I think Declan John has been a good signing. And I think he'll make it hard for the Rangers captain, Lee Wallace, to get back into that side. Yes, they're very forward-thinking players. Under Warburton in the Championship, the two full-backs went at the same time. I don't see that as much now. I think the problem is, I think the centre-backs need sorted out. What's the right partnership there? And if you look at, if you play the formation with two full-backs going up and down the park, which is nowadays, full-backs hardly defend now. They go up and down. Yes, everybody says, well, their first line of duty should be make sure to protect the goalkeeper and defend. But you've got two sitting midfield players there for it. And I think if you look at, for instance, Celtic, they're very good at it because Kieran Tierney plays as an outside left at times. You know,
he can get back. I mean, he is a great tackler.
Yeah,
Tavernier's not a tackler.
I don't think Tavernier's the best defender. I think he's very good at going forward. I think he was forming a good partner.
So is Declan John, Gordon.
Yep.
But the point is, you've got Candias on the right wing as well, doing the same job as Tavernier. Mm. They tend to bump into each other. And Tavernier gets stranded up the field too much for me. So, as I said, the stats tell you their defence is shocking. They've lost 36 goals in 30 games. 1.2 goal a game. Celtic's lost, I think, 60%. Mm. Half that. They've almost scored the same goal, so their problem is in defence. They've never fixed it, Gordon.
Yeah, I think that if you look at Rangers, if you're going to Ibrox, say for instance Stevie Clark must have been saying at half time, listen, it's 0-0, we'll get a couple of chances here. Because Rangers will give you a couple of chances. They had Cardozo in there, they've had Alves in there. It didn't work. Danny Wilson was obviously let go, he's away to America. Bates is injured. I think Bates is probably the best one-to-one defender they've got. Use of the ball, I don't think he's particularly brilliant at, but I'm sure he'll be working on that. Russell Martin's been brought in. They've got to get a partnership in there. They've got to have got a relationship back forward to goalkeeper. But as I say, I keep touching on the modern day game. The two guys that probably sit there in front of the back four, i.e. Docherty and Goss, they've got to give more protection as well, which allows your forward-thinking players to get forward and score goals.
Looking for the 11 player. Thanks, by the way, to Peter. 11 players have scored 20 or more goals in English Premier League and whose full common names contain all the vowels. Some good guesses coming in. Ones that you think like Jay Rodriguez, but he's not one. Tony Yeboa, says Lisa. Some quite humorous attempts as well. We're clearly running out of time on this one, but have you got anything else at the moment?
Well, we're thinking of some different nations. We think there must be continentals.
Yes, absolutely.
So we wondered, we're sort of going west to east. Herman Ryderson.
No, but you're close.
Oh,
it sounds quite like, it's a very similar sounding name. Countryman.
Oh, it's not Heidar Helgason.
Yes, Heidar Helgason. Okay.
See, we're going right through Gylfi Sigurdsson, nope, and Eidur Gudjonsson.
Nope.
We wondered, there was some great Greek names. We thought Theo Zagarakis would be one.
No,
Daz got it. Stelios Giannakopoulos from Bolton.
What a shout that is. Stelios Giannakopoulos.
You should have watched me try to spell that one.
Two to get. So we are seriously running out of time. One played with West Ham around the same time as Decanio. Who is always kind of up top with Decanio?
Freddie Canute.
Yes, Freddie Canute. Yes, and the last one, Portuguese, I think, Fulham.
Portuguese Fulham.
Quick.
No, Roger, I'm out.
Portuguese. Oh, wasn't he?
Quick.
The boy who came from Arsenal. Lucas Bonamotti.
Thank you to Roger and Gordon. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.